The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It's December 6, 2024. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz, and you got me for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Glad you're with us, and what a beautiful day in the Auburn Opelika area. A little chilly out there this morning. It's starting to warm up a little bit, but winter is here, and with winter and with the first week of December comes conference championship games in college football, the college football playoff committee with their final rankings and bracket coming up as well, college basketball. There's a lot going on in the world of sports, and we're going to cover it all today here on the show. Glad that you're with us. It's Free For All Friday. If you don't know what that means, you're going to find out. It's a lot of fun. We cover everything and anything, and we have a lot of fun doing it, and we love to hear from you. And normally, it's me, and Uncle T-Bone is in here as well, but he is out today. He will be back with us on Monday. He is wrapped up at the office, and so a guy that's with us always on Fridays as well, the voice of Lee Scott Academy, Christian Griffin. What's up, my man? How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. You talked about the weather. It is a little bit chilly, but
I love it.
It's exactly what you think about when you think about conference championship football games, right? I mean, this is the kind of weather you expect when it's rivalry Saturday, late November. It's what you want in the fourth quarter, the same type of chilliness that's going on. But a whole lot to talk about. We were talking right before the show. I'm sure we'll get into it a little bit. Some head coaches have said some things regarding the college football playoff, kind of continuing the conversation that we had yesterday, talking about the teams that we feel like are in, but as you mentioned yesterday, there's too many spots and not enough teams, which is flipped compared to what it had been the previous decade. So a whole lot going on today on Free For All Friday.
Well, we're about to get Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com on the phone. While I do that, Christian, if you would run through the conference championship games that are going to be taking place start to finish tomorrow. It's a big day in college football. Some have bigger implications than others, but the conference championship games happening in college football tomorrow, that's what we're talking about with Lee Sterling. I'm going to get him on the phone. You let the people know what's going on.
Yeah, we're pulling it up right now. Arguably, you want to say the biggest one of the weekend would be Georgia and Texas. That being said, you also feel like that one doesn't necessarily matter as much because you feel like at worst, both of those teams are just going to flip places. You do have one tonight, Boise State ranked 10th in the country. They take on 20th ranked UNLV. That game is at 7 p.m. on Fox, and that is a very, very big game, obviously, because that's Boise State trying to basically solidify their chance as the group, or solidify their spot, rather, as the group of five team. You also have Tulane taking on Army, not necessarily a championship-type game, but a nice little rivalry game in there as well. And then it all starts tomorrow, December 7th, 11 a.m., not quite necessarily labeled as the big noon kickoff, but Arizona State and Iowa State do battle at 11 a.m. on ABC. Again, Georgia and Texas, a game that you feel like a lot of people will watch, but it doesn't necessarily have total playoff implications. You also feel that way with Oregon and Penn State. But the big game that everybody will be watching, 7 p.m. on ABC, and I'm sure Mr. Lee Sterling will have something to say about this one as well. SMU and Clemson, not only determining those two spots in the college football playoff, but depending on who wins and who loses, there could be a whole lot of chaos that goes down.
Let's bring in the man who's the best in the business, Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Lee, how was your Thanksgiving holiday, my man?
Well, the food tasted great. Now I got to work off 4 pounds. So Other than that, it was incredible, though.
Excellent. I mean, excellent.
The Huckleberry, you know, we had that turkey bake-off between my two daughters.
Yeah, how'd that turn out?
So my daughter who tried making apple pie, she normally does the banana cream pie. It was really good. But this was by far the best ever Huckleberry pie. It was insane. So after the tasting, then I got basically a big old bowl, and then I dumped in two huge scoops of vanilla bean ice cream to go with it. Oh, my wife was looking for me to help out. I was planted. I couldn't move out of my recliner. No way it was happening.
I love it. That's why it's my favorite holiday.
Everything good?
Yes. Everything it went really, really well. And weather, a little chilly here in Auburn, but overall it was really, really good and got to.
Now, what's your favorite for Thanksgiving? What kind of food?
I mean, I am a turkey guy. I do. I like turkey and ham. I like both. The sides are where it's
gravy
at,
gravy and over the turkey?
Oh, yeah, you have to. Gravy on over half of the
and
things on the
cranberry,
plate.
Do you eat it with cranberry sauce?
I am not a cranberry sauce fan,
no?
Unfortunately.
Okay.
Nope, that's not my thing. And then desserts, of course. You go with apple pie, bread pudding, pecan pie, pumpkin pie. Oh, yeah, the whole
thing. Wow,
the
you're
whole
an equal
shebang.
Opportunity employer there, huh?
He brings one plate of food and one plate for desserts and then just doesn't have to get up again.
My wife was joking. I had a plate of turkey, gravy, both cranberry sauce, the gelled and also mixed with other things. And I had stuffing with gravy on it, mashed potatoes, and what else did I have? Some beans, something else. She claims that I had a 9.5-pound plate.
I don't doubt it.
That sounds like it. Yeah, that sounds like it.
You talked about,
great.
I mean, while she was cooking the food and everything, you were cooking up some Saturday Championship Day bets is what I'm hearing.
I'm in charge of eating and you know, making sure everyone's happy.
That's right. Well, hey, I'm glad you had a great Thanksgiving and glad to have you back on the show for what is a big weekend in college football with the conference championship games. We're going to run through the big ones here with you. What do you have going on at ParamountSports.com for championship weekend?
So what we have, we don't sell the individual week. We had a tough couple weeks, start off November, but boy, have we come on since Thanksgiving Day. We are on a 16-3 run since Turkey Day. So that started my great run, eating all that great food. And they want to hop on board. We call it Double Down December. They can get every game from today all the way through December 31st. That's 4 weeks of action. Use coupon code SAVE200. You ready for this? This is even better than the Cyber Monday and Black Friday sales. Just $247 for 4 weeks of action, or this is the greatest deal of all time. You can get everything through the Super Bowl if you use coupon code SAVE300 for just $347. Super Bowl this year is in mid-February. That's like 12 weeks of action. Just $347. One place, ParamountSports.com.
You talked about trying to lose a little bit of weight. No better way than sweating a little bit of bets. We have a full Saturday slate. We begin at 11 a.m. inside Arlington, Texas, and it is the Iowa State Cyclones and the Arizona State Blue Devils. This one opened up at 1.5 and has not moved. Tickets you can get for $24. Who do you like in this one, Lee?
Does that include service fees?
Probably so.
So there's one app. I think it's called TickPick. Includes service fees. So this is crazy. So outside of Iowa State, there may be no other team that performed the way people thought. Arizona State, everyone thought they were a bottom feeder. They way overperformed. The problem that they have here is I think both teams are pretty even. They're going to be missing wide receiver Jordan Tyson. How big is he? Well, he only had 75 catches for 1,100 yards and 10 touchdowns.
I think that's halfway decent.
Yeah, pretty good. And I think this game is about matchups. Iowa State's strength is their passing offense, Rocco Becht, and they are going to be matched up with Arizona State's pass defense, which is ranked 75th in the country. So I love these two wide receivers for Iowa State, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel. They had 80 and 67 catches, respectively, combined for 15 touchdowns. They are very athletic. I think they have a big advantage, and Iowa State only a dog once this year. week two versus Iowa. What did they do? They won the game outright. Wrong team favored. Iowa State 30-26.
Boom. There it is. He's got Iowa State with the upset. We move to the Big Ten, where everybody predicted Oregon at the beginning of the season to be in this game. Don't think many people picked Penn State. It was supposed to be the Buckeyes of Ohio State if they could just beat Michigan, which they failed to do in several years. Oregon catching three and a hook here, favored over the Nittany Lions.
Yep. How about some of these guys for Penn State? They had to be thinking last week, there, if they were watching the game, there's no way Ohio State's going to turn it on anytime they want. Or let's say they were running around doing errands, and then all of a sudden they're thinking, hey, I'm going home next weekend to see my parents. I'm going hunting, maybe spending the weekend with a girlfriend, and they realize they are in the Big Ten championship game. I think they're playing with house money now. So I have gone against James Franklin early and often when he's playing top five opponents. We all know his record, 1-16 straight up, 5-12 against the spread. But if they were not in the Big Ten championship game, they would have been seeded probably fifth or sixth. Even if they lose this game, as long as they don't lose by double digits, I think they're still going to be seeded fifth or sixth. So Oregon's got to travel cross-country, three time zones. This Penn State team, except for passing offense, I think they're actually stronger than Oregon. And when they're matched up against common opponents, Penn State outperformed Oregon with better margin of victory against Wisconsin, Maryland, Washington, and Purdue. I think this line should be Oregon minus 1, 1.5, not 3.5. I think the Ducks were out of water in Indianapolis. Wrong team favored. Again, Penn State, 27-23.
We're saying James Franklin finally gets it done, and that means that there would be four Big 12 teams.
Big 10.
Or Big 10 teams, yes, sir, in the college football playoff with Indiana sliding in there as well. Might not be the most exciting championship game, but definitely going to be the one that the a majority of people will tune in. 7 p.m. inside Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. Clemson and the surprise team, SMU, not necessarily a popular pick in the ACC, but they've now ran their way all the way to the ACC championship. Clemson favored by 2 where it sits right now, and this lead determines so much, not just for these two teams, but so many other spots in the college football playoff final decisions.
Yeah, I think it comes down to how the game is played. But if Clemson wins and SMU, let's say, loses by less than a touchdown, I think they deserve it, and I think they're probably going to get in and maybe knock out Alabama if that's the case. But here's what most people, they just don't watch football that closely. 90% of football fans couldn't even tell you that Kevin Jennings is the quarterback for SMU. How good has he been? Well, he's not only won 9 straight games, he's led his team since he became the starter in week number 4. They've scored at least 28-66 points in every single game. He's averaging 9.3 yards per pass attempt. On the other side, Cade Klubnik, well, last half of the season, and teams that were decent to pretty good teams like Pittsburgh, Virginia Tech, Louisville, and South Carolina, only averaged 6 yards per pass attempt. You spread that out over the season, that's bottom 15. That's, you're right next to teams like Rice, Sam Houston State, and UConn. This SMU defense is salty. They've only allowed 13 points in the last 2 games against Virginia and Cal. I think the right team is favored. I like SMU here, 28-24.
SMU to take down Clemson in the ACC championship game. We're talking to Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. All right, the one that the people here in this side of the state and really in this part of the country are going to be paying attention to is the SEC championship game between Texas and Georgia. People think it'll be a home game for the Dogs, being played right up the road in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Both teams should be in the college football playoff, but bragging rights are on the line.
Yeah, they are. And in that first game, I correctly predicted that Georgia was going to come to play, and that might have been their greatest first half the entire season. Second half against Alabama wasn't bad either. But I think Texas learned some lessons that day. If you watch them against Texas A&M, they dominated the line of scrimmage. They should have won that game. You just base it on what you watched, 27-0, 34-3. I mean, they were dominant. And Georgia, not in the top 25 for more. This is the first time in a decade in offense or defense in any major statistical category. I just don't think this team is even close to the teams that won national championships. We know that Quinn Ewers, quarterback for Texas, not 100%. So I expect them to expand the use of Arch Manning in this game. Didn't throw a pass in the last game. He ran three times for 14 yards and a touchdown. And we know George is susceptible to a running quarterback. So I look for them to use him and add some more wrinkles than last week. And the favorite, 25-6 straight up in SEC championship games here. Other than home field advantage for Georgia, I don't see an edge here. I think Texas, I think they exact that revenge here, 31-21.
There you go. Lee Sterling picking Texas to win in the SEC title game. All right, Lee, you got a free play for the people that are going to call you right now. We're also taking next week off. We'll bring you on the week after that to talk college football playoff and bowl games, and then we'll get you on for the Super Bowl as well.
Yep. So how about this game? It is Minnesota laying 5 points, taking on the Atlanta Falcons. You got Kirk Cousins, his return to Minnesota. So you want to get this game here. Be just one of the first five callers. Call 800-400-9741. Again, the number 800-400-9741. You want to get Minnesota and Atlanta. Huge game here. Minnesota going to try to get a home game in the playoffs. Atlanta trying to win their division. They're tied with Tampa Bay. Call 800-400-9741. And like I said, football, you can get next 4 weeks for just $247 on our Double Down December special at ParamountSports.com. Use coupon code SAVE200. Also, a huge UFC card, 5 for $55, a very rare 50-unit max wager going this weekend. We're 21-6 on these 40 to 50-unit max wagers. We haven't had a 50-unit play in the UFC in almost 3 months, so you want to hop on board. Check out all the specials, ParamountSports.com.
Lee, we appreciate you and your time, my friend. Always great to talk to you with football, UFC, anything you got going on at ParamountSports.com. Have a great weekend, my friend. We'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
You too, guys. Take care.
That's Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com. Check him out, and you can be a part of that with Championship Weekend, UFC. He's got everything that you could possibly want there at ParamountSports.com. All right, when we come back, we got things to talk about. Conference championship games, college football playoff, Auburn transfer portal news, who's entering, who could Auburn go after, and a whole lot more. That's here on the Free For All Friday edition of On the Line.
War Eagle, this is Coach Hugh Freeze, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the studio here at ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com for joining us on the show, as he does, or really has, every Friday throughout football season, other than last Friday, of course, with the Thanksgiving holiday. He is such a good dude and really good at what he does. So if you're into that sort of thing, be sure you check him out at ParamountSports.com. He joined us for conference championship games. He will be with us not next week, but the following Friday on the 20th to talk about all the playoff games. So really looking forward to that. And then we'll bring him on the Friday before the Super Bowl. So that's going to be a lot of fun. He'll do all the prop bets, right? They do so much research for those, it's insane. On not just the coin flip. He's not doing research on a 50-50, but he's talking about all the different crazy ones out there, like the national anthem over and the Gatorade color and you know, who's the halftime show this year? Do you remember, Christian?
Oh, gosh, I have.
It's somebody big, obviously. I just can't remember who it is. They announced it. I don't know who it is. Yeah, Google that for me. See, who's performing at the, it's not like Usher, is it? That'd be cool.
Oh, it's Kendrick Lamar, isn't it?
Is it? That's kind of disappointing. What does the internet tell you? We live in an age where you can Google that in 0.2 seconds.
Yeah, you just can't believe everything that you read on here. So.
Super Bowl, look, Super Bowl
headlined
halftime
by superstar Kendrick Lamar. Yes.
All right. Well, anyway, you can bet on like what they're going to wear Like, if they're going to wear a hat or what color their shoes are going to be. Like, you can bet on all that kind of crazy stuff. It's wild. So, again, Lee Sterling will join us coming up for the Super Bowl as well. So, we appreciate him joining us from ParamountSports.com. It is Free For All Friday, which means phone lines are open all show long. You can give us a call, 334-321-1390. Again, 334-321-1390. Or you can always, at any time during the show, you can shoot us a text in the on-the-line text box, 334-784-1067. And while we have a few minutes, I think it is important for us to note that there is some news in terms of Auburn and the transfer portal. The conversation this week has been pretty much Auburn has not lost anybody overly significant yet, right? That's kind of been the vibe. The transfer portal officially opens on Monday, on December 9th, but everybody that is going to enter or is planning on entering is starting to announce my intentions to enter the transfer portal, right? And so you saw a couple of guys for Auburn on each, you know, offensive and defensive lines, and you saw a punter go in the, or, you know, intend to end the portal and stuff like that. But I think the two we need to talk about, both on the defensive side of the football, Christian, TJ Lindsey has decided he is going to enter the transfer portal off the defensive line, the freshman. And then a guy who's been here for 3 years now, which is crazy to think that he's been here for that long. But Auburn safety Caleb Wooden has decided to enter his name into the transfer portal after 3 seasons on the Plains, had 17 tackles and an interception this year. Now you're starting to get into some names. We saw Camden Brown decide he was going to enter as well. You're now starting to see, Christian, some of the bigger names from this Auburn team who are going to be entering their name in the portal.
They are, and by no means do you say it's expected to have a couple of them, but at the same time, you feel like every team, whether it's as soon the day that it opens or a couple of days after it opens, and despite anything that happens that we don't know of, it's frustrating and it's unfortunate to see. Again, I mean, Caleb Wooden's his first interception, the interception that he had this year, was in the Iron Bowl against Jalen Milroe. And so somebody that you weren't necessarily expecting to see. The good thing, if you are looking at it from a wider lens, is the Auburn secondary is in very, very good hands with a couple of the guys. I mean, Jay Crawford just won one of the Freshman of the Year awards. And, I mean, so many guys in that secondary that you really look at to have a really bright spot in this Auburn secondary.
Especially the guys that you just recruited, right, in the 2025 class. I mean, you're bringing in several big, big names in the secondary for 2025, and Auburn has locked up, according to 247, the 6th ranked class in the 2025 cycle, which is solid. Some say disappointing, some say it's great. I think it's pretty darn good. I mean, given everything that has happened, especially with another losing season.
That's the thing that I was about to say. It would be one thing if you finished with the 6th ranked class after going 9-3 and preparing for a bowl, and you were already at that sort of spot before the season. Then all of a sudden, it's like, oh well, we got 9 wins, and you know, didn't really get anybody. But after a 5-7 year, and things were very frustrating if you look at the final outcomes throughout the entire season. But I think the biggest thing, I think we talked about it a little bit yesterday, was it was almost, you don't want to say, I feel like if anything, it seems underwhelming because there wasn't drama with Auburn's recruiting class. And it's just because, again, there was one guy that went out, one guy that came in. Other than that, you kept everybody that was committed. And I feel like that shows even more than being able to flip somebody that was committed to another school, because it shows that you've had that communication throughout the entire year. You're able to get the guys to sign that have been on campus all year long.
And unfortunately, getting somebody to flip on signing day doesn't mean what it did a decade ago.
Not
because
at all.
A decade ago, somebody flipping was they changed their minds about you. They changed their minds about where they were committed and now where they're going based off of the people, the atmosphere, the environment,
record.
The record, the facilities, all of that.
Now the 11th hour becomes a thing.
Correct. And now, while all of that may be fine and dandy, let's just be real at the end of the day, what that flip came down to, 9 times out of 10, cha-ching, right? The dollar sign.
I mean, it's exactly what happened, what we've heard with Justin Terry, the 5-star-plus defensive line,
yeah,
where it almost felt like it was between Auburn and Georgia today. And then they said about an hour before, Texas came in with a, quote, undeniable offer.
Somebody want to give me an undeniable offer?
I think that just means paying for room and board and maybe like your English book year one, right?
That's yeah, all I think so. Maybe like a meal voucher
there
or something.
There we go. Okay.
Yeah, something like
three
that.
Three a week.
Chick-fil-A for life or something. Something like that. All right, we got more to talk about here on the Free-for-All Friday edition of On the Line. Conference championship games, recruiting, basketball, you name it, we got it. Stick around. We got a lot more coming up.
You are on the line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Free-for-All Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goetz. He is Christian Griffin. Give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. What's on your mind on this Friday afternoon? 334-321-1390. Today is the first day that I have somewhat felt like a normal human being. I'm actually beginning. I sound better today. I feel better today. Been dealing with this since Saturday night, so we're going on a week of whatever this crap is flying around. I mean, everybody I know has something.
There's something. Dude,
something. It's crazy. So be sure. Let's go back to elementary school. Wash our hands. Use hand sanitizer. Do what you need to do. And so glad to be here and glad to have so much to talk about. And I think, Christian, we can loop several topics into one big segment or two here in this last 30 minutes of the first hour.
Sure.
With conference championship games and the comments from several big name head coaches who are either in or not in those conference championship games. You had mentioned to start the show, Dan Lanning, Lane Kiffin. We've seen Rhett Lashley out there getting any sort of TV or radio interview that he can do just to get in front of a microphone to talk about why SMU should be a playoff team. I mean, I give a lot of credit to these coaches because it seems more than ever, other than when we saw Nick Saban do it, because Saban was Saban and could do whatever he wanted and say whatever he wanted, and nobody was going to tell him, hey, why don't we pipe down a little bit? These coaches have started to push back, and they've started to vocally defend their teams more than I think they did in the past. Now, of course, media is different and the outlets are different and social media and things like that. But I like it. I credit these coaches for stepping out and saying what they're saying because it's what they believe and not being scared to be fined or to lose their job or have to show some sort of face. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I always thought that it was a little bit weird. I've always been a big Survivor watcher. Like the TV show.
I used to watch it all the time.
Right, and you know how it used to be, everybody would vote for who they wanted to be voted out, right? But it changes at the very end of the season to where before the final voting, you have to stand up in front of the people that you voted out and explain to them why you think you should win.
Same way with Big Brother. That's the show
right,
I watched all the time.
Same type of, yep, of vibe. It's, yeah, it's kind of the exact same thing that you're experiencing here, to where it's like, rather than other people getting a say, you're doing everything in your part to stand up for your staff, your players, your fans, and explain the reasoning. And right, and obviously there's right and maybe not right and a wrong way to do it, but there's definitely been coaches that have gone to very different levels of persuading, I guess you could say. Lane Kiffin is very much more on the negative side of things rather than Shane Beamer's obviously, yeah, somebody that talks really positively about his team and the record-wise, and how you talked about it yesterday, to where if you took more of that March Madness style of, mm-hmm, hey, this team is playing better than anybody right now, you can't leave them out. Dan Lanning, again, was a guy that we talked about in the beginning of the show. We'll talk about some of his quotes. But, yeah, definitely some different ways to go about it. I think Lane Kiffin is kind of being the most vocal about it, which, to me, in my opinion, I feel like if there's one team that I don't think is as much in that conversation if you're competing with Alabama, South Carolina, or Ole Miss. I feel like Ole Miss is the third team of three.
No doubt. And the comments that he made were on X, right? Was that Tuesday night or Wednesday morning that he made
them? It's been every day. I mean, it continued today.
The one that really got people fired up was on X, right, on social media, which we all know Lane Kiffin is very, very active on, which I'm surprised Ole Miss lets him be, but whatever, that's a different conversation. He says, quote, "You guys actually meet for days and come up with these rankings? Question mark? Two question marks. Do you actually watch the quality of players, teams, and road environments we played in one of yours this year," he said in parentheses, "or just try and make the ACC feel relevant? Two question marks. He goes on to say, "By the way, one of your teams," talking about the ACC, "paid us to not play again next year," that team being Wake Forest. And that's the end quote. That team is Wake Forest, where it's reported that they paid $750,000 to not play Ole Miss.
To only have one side of the home and home.
They paid $750,000 to not take a loss.
Yeah, and he continued today on his comments about strength of schedule and everything, said, quote, "It's a very bad system, and you have people in there in place of it. Have any of these coaches on the committee been down here in the Deep South into these stadiums and played in these games that are on this," referring to the committee. So how do they even know? How do they even know what it's like to go into these stadiums and in these places on the road? Then said, quote, "It's much different than where these other conferences go and play 6-6 teams that have to go play, or 5-5 teams at the time, and you have to get up for every week." I'm guessing referring to the ACC and the Big 12. He said it's a lot easier to get up when you have to get up for two games a year, which
you can make the argument that's the Big 10 too.
You really could, and that's what we've talked about plenty of times, to where you might say the Big 10 this year at the very top is higher than any conference because of the four teams that are slated to be in the playoff right now. But there's not a conference that's deeper in the SEC right now. You take a Vanderbilt team, you take an Auburn team, you take a 5-7 team that finished here on the Plains against who's a team that's, I mean,
I'm pulling it up right now from the Big Ten.
Yeah,
I'm going to give you a handful of teams that are Auburn's final record of what, 5-6? Or no, it was 5-7.
Auburn was 5-7. Yeah.
5-7. So here are a list of teams that are. The Big Ten doesn't even have a 5-7 team. Oh, yeah, they do. Sorry. Just kidding. UCLA. Would Auburn beat UCLA on a neutral field right now? Could Auburn go to UCLA and beat them in the Rose Bowl?
We would have found out, but it got canceled next year.
Oh! Dang.
Was it next year?
No, it's not next year. Next year's Baylor.
Next year's Baylor, yeah. But
so
it's
Baylor's for the next 2 years, and then UCLA's
correct,
moving.
Yeah.
So anyway, UCLA's 5-7. How about Michigan State? How about Wisconsin? All those teams are 5-7 out of the Big Ten.
What about a North Carolina or a Virginia? Even Cal, who's in the ACC right now. You think Cal wants to play Auburn right now?
I mean, why wouldn't they?
I don't think that. I mean, based off of record-wise, I think you would, but a Wake Forest team. These teams would not want to play Auburn. And I think that's the one point that Lane Kiffin makes that's actually very, very accurate, is the fact of he lost in Lexington in the middle of the season against a Kentucky team that finished what?
No. Kentucky came
no,
to
Kentucky
Oxford.
Did come to Oxford, yeah. So it makes it even more so. The fact that we talk about the any given Saturday type of mentality that you have to have in the SEC, where you have to get up every single week rather than Indiana playing Purdue, who's 1-10, moving to 1-11 for their big rivalry on Rivalry Saturday.
They're so bad. They're so bad. And play teams like Minnesota and teams like the Rutgers of the world. But it's always been that way.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I get because of the playoff and teams are getting mad and frustrated, but like, my entire life, your entire life, it's always been this way. The SEC, the fact that they say it just means more, everybody makes fun of that except the ones that are in the conference, because they understand. Teams like Mississippi State and Kentucky and historically Ole Miss and Missouri now and Vanderbilt, they would do anything to not be in the SEC if money was not a factor. If it was just about winning ball games, they would not want to be in the SEC. They would have been out decades ago.
Yeah, go in the ACC where you go 9-3.
Exactly. But the SEC makes so much freaking money that they're here, and that's why they're a part of it.
And that's exactly going into what Dan Lanning said about his comments, where he calls out SEC bias, but at the same time, he almost does it understandably so. Obviously, Coach Dan Lanning was with the Georgia Bulldogs and is now the head coach for the Oregon Ducks. And when he was talking with the media this afternoon, he explained how there is an SEC bias. He said, look, that's how it works. Let's not pretend it doesn't work any different than that. He also referred to who pays the bills. He referred to what does ESPN, who is their contract with? It's obviously now with SEC because you have the SEC on ESPN. That's where everything
there's
is
a whole SEC
together.
Network.
Right, and that's exactly how everything works. Then he goes on by saying, however, they can't deny you if you do what? Just win. You can't complain if you win. If you lose three games, shame on you. You don't have an argument.
And I love that. I love that. And that is further support from me for Dan Lanning as a head coach. I mean, he's a guy that you were on to be Auburn's next head coach. And still could be. I mean, didn't he just sign an extension at Oregon? Am I right about that? Didn't he sign an extension here recently with Oregon? If not, they should. I mean, but again.
Yeah, through January of 31.
Jeez, what are they paying him?
8.4
a year.
Yes,
whew, that's top five.
Plus $1 million in deferred compensation.
Golly, but he's earned it. He's earned it, and
so now it's up to 9.4 because of that million.
Golly, good for him. But I love that he said that because that's a guy who coached. He was the coach when they were still Pac-12, and then they moved big. Right, he was there for He was there when they were still Pac-12,
yeah.
And then he is now in the Big Ten. But like you mentioned, it's a guy who has been in this area, who has been in this conference, who is just a realist. He calls it like he sees it. We respect that on this show, of course, with our show motto. And he's not an idiot. He's like, look, he's not oblivious. He doesn't have the Big Ten sunglasses on. He's not going to shy away from the truth. The SEC is what makes money in college football. It runs college football. Now, the Ohio States and the Oregons of the world, they make good money too. But the Big Ten will always be secondary to the Southeastern Conference. And Dan Lanning knows that. But for him to come out and say, they can't argue if you win. They can't deny you if you win. A motto that I live by in my life is be undeniable. What makes you undeniable? Winning games makes you undeniable. And
it's the number that comes after the dash in your record at the end of the year.
I will say, though, I guess there is a little bit of untruthfulness to that because Florida State last year would like to have a word, right? I mean, a team that literally did what you're supposed to do and go undefeated, and they still got left out. Different system, different format. Well, yeah, different system, different format, different number, right? That team would not be left out of this year's college football playoff. An undefeated team with an injured quarterback would not be left out of a 12-team playoff. But in this new format, yeah, it's pretty simple. You win, and you're in. But there has to be some. There has to be a difference in the conferences. Not all conferences are created equal. That's not all schedules are created equal. That's been the argument from the big dogs for quite some time.
And that's just, I mean, that's nothing against any conference. That's just the cold hard truth.
That's a fact. And so with that, some of these bigger teams like a Bama or a Georgia or an Ohio State or Penn State or any of these teams, right? They want a little relief because their schedule is harder. An 11-1 SEC team is different than an 11-1 UNLV. Like, I don't see why there's confusion in that. I don't see why there is an argument there. You know what I mean? I just don't understand why.
Sorry.
What in the world am I watching?
The seal at the Georgia Aquarium just picked Texas to defeat Georgia in the SEC championship, so That's all I'm going with.
Does that mean we hammer it or we fade the seal? What does that mean?
I mean, that's in Atlanta, and they just picked Texas, and Lee Sterling also picked Texas. So that's two for two right there. So it's hard for me to
Georgia. Lee Sterling and a seal, man.
Or sea lion, sorry, not a seal.
What's the difference?
Story for another time. Sorry, well, I just thought that was worth sharing, the fact that on SportsCenter right now, they
with Marty Smith. I would expect nobody else than Marty Smith to be there with a sea lion at the aquarium picking the SEC championship game. It's called it's called the Marty Party. Good for you, Marty.
And the TV show hosts are about as shocked as we are looking at everything right now.
Wow. All right. Well, I think my point was done. It is now. 334-321-1390. We'll recap, I think, and talk conference championship games. We got basketball coming up this weekend, too. Wow. Free for all Friday. I told you were going to find out what it was, and that's it right there. All right, we'll wrap up hour number one when we come back.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader, and some news that we have yet to address on the show. It's a couple of days old, but it's really started to ramp up and really started to catch the attention of everybody in the media. And I was reminded of it, actually. It was not on the rundown for today. I just got reminded of it from Yahoo Sports, who sent me a notification from an article from Dan Wetzel that says, "Why Belichick to UNC isn't crazy." And in case you have not heard this news, it has been reported from everybody that former New England Patriots head coach, future Hall of Famer, Super Bowl champion, multi-time Super Bowl winning champion coach, Bill Belichick, interviewed for the vacancy at the head coaching position at the University of North Carolina for football. Mack Brown, of course, is out. That situation was a disaster. He is no longer there. And Christian, Bill Belichick has interviewed to be the head coach at North Carolina. I have not heard how that interview went. There's no reports of how it went. But when you start getting people writing about how it's not crazy for that to happen, like, what a wild story this is. And the fact that the greatest NFL coach of all time could possibly be the next head coach in North Carolina.
There were talks that he, quote, blew them away in the interview.
I have not seen that. Okay.
To be fair, what did you expect?
Yeah.
Let's go interview one of the greatest coaches of all times. Hey, do you want to come coach? Oh, wow, that was impressive. Yeah, like, obviously.
I asked Nick Saban to draw me up a defensive scheme, and he really just blew me away.
Right. Like, oh, I cannot believe it. Wow.
Wow.
At 72 years old. He's
72?
He is 72 years old.
Wow. Okay. I thought young 60s?
No, he is, yeah. Which
72?
That goes back to the fact
how old was Mac?
There's no way that, I mean, this could be more than a 2 or 3 year stunt. And it really draws the question of, I feel like we've talked about it plenty of times with guys like Kirby and Dabo possibly going to the NFL because of how college football is changing and not wanting to have to deal with the year-by-year chaos that is happening as we speak in college football, right? But you don't really hear about too many stories, especially in today's NIL era, of NFL coaches wanting to come into this type of world. And for somebody like Bill Belichick, who doesn't give off today's era style of wanting to coach 18-year-olds or 18-year-olds playing that type of game with Bill Belichick,
who could be making more money than him.
Right. Like, there's not going to be any more yes sirs if you tell them what to do.
But he also is coming from the NFL, where I don't think that was a huge thing, where most of the guys around him made more money than he did.
Right. And so maybe that's the one comparison. Or it's what we've talked about before with college football teams being organizations. Is that the right word that we've used for them?
Yep.
And I believe at most organizations, there's not necessarily a head coach, but I think it's a different term called a CEO. and possibly...
I prefer GM.
GM. There, I mean, that's very, very fair as well. Could that be the type of role that's being established? Again, if you're a day-to-day listener, we've talked about it with Hugh Freeze possibly. Again, not that this has been talked about, but let Hugh Freeze do what he needs to do, take some responsibilities off of his plate, go get you a fantastic offensive coordinator, keep DJ Durkin to where... By no means are you the figurehead, but you control everything outside the day-to-day works in college football. You handle the big things. You handle the recruiting, the things that you're good at. Maybe Bill Belichick could be possibly establishing that type of role if North Carolina were to be a serious option.
I think the only thing, and not just Hugh Freeze, but I think a lot of these guys, the only thing that would really put a hurt on that is – pride.
Yeah, ego.
Ego, pride. I think once somebody does it, I think that will start a trend for others. But who's going to be the first head coach that says, I'm not as good as I used to be, I can't do it all, let me delegate.
Let me continue to be what I'm great at, but let me go get somebody that might be a little bit better in one area than I am. And let's go find a way to make this work.
Somebody text in really quick. It says, one of the guarantees is for Stephen Belichick, the son, to be the coach in waiting day one. Not a bad point. Not a bad point. All right, we got a lot more coming up in hour two. Transfer portal, basketball, recruiting. That's right. Stick around.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goetz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Friday, everybody. Hope you're doing well. As we get underway here in hour number two on the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goetz. If you missed any of hour number one, you can go and catch it with the podcast. We'll have it posted for you a little bit after the show today. It's just the show audio we posted for you on the station website at ESPNAU.com. In hour number one, we talked to Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports, ParamountSports.com, our betting guru. Talked to him about all of the conference championship games coming up this weekend in college football and what they mean and his picks. A couple of upsets in there, a couple of wrong team favored, so be sure that you go and check him out. You can listen to that in the podcast as along with our conversations on the college football playoff. A lot of head coaches have been very vocal about what is happening or what they think is going to happen. And so all of that was in hour number one. Here in hour number two, we're about to get to the phone lines. You can be a part of that, 334-321-1390. Got a couple of text messages in the text box as well that we're going to get to, 334-784-1067. We're going to talk about the transfer portal a little bit, talk some college basketball as Auburn is back in action in Neville Arena on Sunday. So all of that and more here in hour number two. Before we get to the phone lines, though, I want to remind you that hour number two, each and every day during On the Line on ESPN, is brought to you by our friends at the Orthopedic Clinic. The Orthopedic Clinic is East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika to better serve you. You can find them online at theorthoclinic.com. Let's get to the phone lines, 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. What's up, my man? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday, Jacob. How's it going?
It's good, man. Good to hear from you. Been too long.
I know. It's been a while, man. Christian there with you?
He is. Yep, Christian is, doing, is Christian? In the studio.
Good, man. How are you?
Good. Doing well. Doing well. Has the portal actually opened, guys, or what's going on there?
It opens on Monday. So right now, everything that you've heard is it has to be announced as they are planning on entering. So you know exactly what that means.
Yeah. Yeah. it means they're means the writing is pretty much on the wall. Let's be honest.
Yes.
But thankfully, no phone calls are being taken, no texts or any sort of communication until Monday.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Really. How important do y'all think it is that Auburn signs a big time quarterback out of the portal?
Very.
Very. That's what I was hoping here. Very. It's of the most significant importance. Because Hugh Freeze has got to be a winner next year. He cannot afford another, 6-6 season or less.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think that he could afford a. Sorry, I was going to say, I don't even think he could afford a 3-3 start, to be completely honest with you. If you're throwing all of your eggs in the Deuce Knight basket, that's putting so much pressure on a freshman that's still yet to play a collegiate football game.
Yeah, if anybody's anticipating a Walker White or Deuce Knight battle, you put your hands, put your future in a redshirt freshman or a pure freshman's quarterback's hands,
yep.
That's asking for trouble.
And I've said all along that in this day and age in college football, unless you've got just 3-5 stars in the room that you just think are world-beating Heisman Trophy candidates, there's no excuse to not go get a quarterback in the portal, whether he's going to be threatening to be a starter or not. Go get somebody that can compete, push the room, and threaten to be a starter, because we saw what happened when Hugh Freeze gambled and didn't do that last year, and he put all of his chips on Peyton Thorne, and he watched his chips get taken away very, very quickly because it landed on black and not red.
Yeah, the bag didn't even open, actually.
Yeah.
So, that's and people forget something, and I remember Peyton Thorne was not their first choice. The first choice could not get into school. Because he could transfer as a major, right?
Mm-hmm. Grayson McCall is who you're talking about.
Grayson McCall, right. That was their first choice. Peyton Thorne was not their first choice. So it shouldn't come as a big a surprise to Coach Reese, but it did. It seemed to catch him off guard. And his loyalty to Peyton Thorne was enormous this year. And I don't understand. I really don't.
Do you have anybody that comes to mind right now? Because arguably the second option for Auburn last year was Caden Salter, and that didn't work out. And Salter's back in the portal once again.
The quarterback at Kansas,
Jalen Daniels.
Yeah,
okay.
No news on him yet, but again, the portal hasn't even opened yet, so there's a lot of possibilities out there.
He'd be a guy that I would think would be very interesting at Auburn. I'm sure there are names I'm not familiar with too that'll be in there. You know, backups everywhere who are not getting to play.
You bring all that up, Terry, because that's what we're starting this hour with, is all these quarterbacks that have already announced that they're going to be entering, and we're going to talk about them and break them down and what they can mean for Auburn.
Right. And the receiver position, I kind of wonder about Perry Thompson. I didn't get to play a lot this year, backed up KLS. I mean,
Are you concerned? I would say don't be concerned, Terry.
Okay. Well, that's reassuring right there. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, Terry. Yep, appreciate it. Always good to hear from you. 334-321-1390. And I wasn't lying. I'm glad he brings that up, because that's literally what we were going to talk about in this segment and probably for a little bit in this hour, is the fact that Auburn, we said this last year and it didn't do this, but you have to go get somebody. You have to go get a transfer portal quarterback if Auburn – everybody says, oh, you have to do this or you have to do that. But I'll put the if with it. You have to get a transfer portal quarterback this offseason if you are Auburn, if Hugh Freeze wants to keep his job. If you want to win games, be competitive, which all leads to him keeping his job. Because as we've said, a highly ranked recruiting class is great. A couple of those stacked together is even greater. But at some point, that is not enough to keep your job. Just ask Jimbo Fisher, who is probably very happy getting paid to do what he's doing right now. But the fact of the matter is, recruiting is not enough in this job. And so for Auburn to have some momentum, to have some hope, to have some sort of a chance next year, you need to have a stacked, full, competitive quarterback room. And to do that, you have to go get somebody in the transfer portal.
It's so funny. There's already – the CBS Sports has a live update NCAA Transfer Portal 2025 tracker. Portal hasn't even opened yet, but anytime somebody enters there, or sorry, intends to enter, there's an entire website that has every single person who's entered it. I mean, they even have a stat for the most notable players. Obviously, Jackson Arnold with Oklahoma is expected.
I love that kid.
With USC, Connor Wegman from Texas A&M. Those three kind of headline everything. Caden Salter, who we just talked about at Liberty. There is Devin Dampier, who we got to saw with, or we got to see with New Mexico, who came into Jordan-Hare. He just intended to enter last night, and so there's some big time names at the quarterback position that have already announced their intent. But yeah, it is as of a job keeping importance to go and find somebody that can run that one position for
Don't
you.
Forget about Matthew Sluka too, from UNLV.
As long as the NIL comes through, yeah. you won't hear any complaints. Right?
And so I want to hear from people in the text box, 334-784-1067, who should Auburn go after? Whether they have already announced or not, somebody you may think could enter the portal, like a Jalen Daniels from Kansas, right? That's an example of somebody who could use a step up in their scene, their scenery, if you will. Of the guys that have already announced, I love Jackson Arnold. I think Jackson Arnold is a really, really solid option. Yes. I think he's a guy for Auburn. I don't know, but I do think he's a really, really good quarterback. I think Connor Wegman's obviously a big highlight too. Health is a concern. Obviously he had the foot injury in 2023. He came back this year and had health issues again, and now is going to be entering the portal. And so I think those two are a big deal. But you also mentioned Salter from Liberty. And I don't know. I think there's several options who have already entered, but I do think there will be more.
There's definitely going to be more come Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, when those first true talkings announced, to where you're not necessarily announcing that you're intending to. You're actually going to enter. Another big time name is somebody that I've talked about since day one, John Mateer at Washington State.
Yes, yes, I forgot about him.
Is not just a quarterback that is solid, but that is a quarterback who has already announced his intention to. Is it just an enter the portal? Just
yeah.
Your intention to enter?
Yeah.
Listen to these. I mean, 29 touchdowns on the year, 7 interceptions, threw for over 3,100 yards, and had a 71.1 QBR at Washington State. And
then look at his rushing stats.
His rushing stats, let's go look at the.
I looked at this morning. His
rushing stats,
are incredible.
In 2024, he had 178 carries for almost 1,000 yards. He had 826 rushing yards.
Did he have like 8 or 10 touchdowns?
15 rushing touchdowns and 29 passing touchdowns. So he had 44 total touchdowns on the year.
That kid's incredible. That kid, I forgot about him. That is one that I have continued to say on other platforms that he is underrated, because he played at Washington State.
Yeah.
And Washington State is one of those programs that has been left out in the cold and everybody has sort of forgotten about because they didn't get to make the big move, right? They didn't get to be a part of all the realignment and the redrawn areas and all that, right? I mean, Washington State is a program that everybody was like, nobody cares about Wazoo. It's Wazoo, right? But this kid is a baller.
And it's weird because Washington State's, it's kind of been, I mean, since the early 2010s that program has almost been a quarterback dream to almost go to.
Because of the air raid.
It is. It's exactly what they run.
I mean, Mike Leach was a huge part
of that. Yeah, Mike Leach, he kind of started everything, brought it over to Mississippi State, but it's almost one of those programs that just kind of builds a quarterback that goes underrated, and then all of a sudden, when you get that big time step up, this kid will be able to go wherever he wants. If I'm Auburn right now, I find a way to win him.
Find a way to pay him.
Win the battle.
I think he's that good. Can you pull up Washington State's schedule? Who did they play? Because they played one of those janked schedules like Oregon State did.
They did. I mean, they went, Yeah.
Because this is always the caveat. It is. This is always the caveat in these conversations.
You play nobody week one where you go, 11 for 17, 352 yards and 5 touchdowns. Texas Tech, he threw for a touchdown. That game he ran 21 times for 197 yards.
Holy smokes.
As a quarterback. Played Washington. They beat Washington. They beat San Jose State in two overtimes, 54-52. He threw for 390, also ran for 111, had 5 total touchdowns in that one. Their first loss of the year was at Boise State, where he still threw for 327, had 2 touchdowns, ran for 28 yards as well. Fresno State, Hawaii, San Diego State. So, again, you're looking at the competition as well to where some of those games are, you wouldn't necessarily say stat padding, but not necessarily top level defensive competition, but you have to still be able to succeed against those types of teams to have any sort of success against a big time opponent.
But I think that argument is starting to get watered down a little bit. I think it's starting to lose its traction because of what you and I talk about, and Uncle T-Bone too, when he's with us, talk about on the regular is the San Jose States of the world are no longer used to be.
The names of history can't carry the same weight that they do since 2022.
It's not Alabama, but it's still a decent football team. And you run up against some serious dudes on these teams now. And really good young coaches on these teams as well.
Yeah.
And so I think that argument, as I said, is starting to lose its traction a little bit. But I will also add on that Auburn brought in 2 years ago a quarterback from the second biggest conference in terms of the name and competition in college football, where he had his team as a top three team in the nation before they got blasted by Ohio State, and it was pretty much a failure, to say it bluntly. And so you can talk about level of competition all you want, but I think stats are stats. They don't tell the whole story, but they sure do tell a lot.
There, and then if you were able to watch some of the games, I watched the Oregon State game. I watched the New Mexico game.
With Mateer?
Yes, with Washington State Mateer. There's an it factor that coaches talk about that don't necessarily show up on a stat category, but somebody that's willing to, on 3rd and 5, keep a quarterback keeper instead of sliding. Not, you don't want it all the time, but willing to take a hit to get a first down. And not saying that that's anybody that's something or that people don't necessarily do, but it's something you don't see as often. And you hear coaches talk all the time about that it factor. And I think this kid has it.
Look at what I'll tell you what. Let's save this conversation for when we come back. I'll tease it, though. Watch this. Now watch this drive. I'm just kidding. Auburn should be a very attractive place for a transfer portal quarterback to come.
Yeah.
They very well should be because of the receivers that are on this roster right now and the young bucks that are coming in. Auburn didn't bring in a ton in this class in 2025 because they didn't have to. They brought in 4 big ones out of the 2024 class. I still think a transfer receiver or two is probably necessary, and that's always a part of the conversation. But Auburn should be an attractive place for a transfer quarterback to be and want to come to, and we'll talk about that and why that is when we come back. 334-321-1390. We're back after this here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, we said heading into the break that with all the transfer portal stuff, in terms of everybody talking the quarterback position for Auburn, that yes, you have to go get somebody, but Auburn should be an attractive place for a transfer portal quarterback to want to come to. Because look at the guys that are coming in, right? Look at the young ones that are coming in out of the 2025 class. I think you can make that argument for Deuce Knight coming in as the quarterback of the class. It made it attractive for him to want to flip and then to stay. You bring in Derek Smith, right? The four-star receiver there. You bring in Sam Turner, the receiver from Georgia as well. You bring in Eric Smith, the other brother, right? The 3-star receiver. So you bring in a couple of those guys. Plus, as of now, your returnees of Cam Coleman and Perry Thompson and guys like that, right? So you have a lot of receivers on this team that would make it very, very sexy for Auburn to bring in a transfer portal quarterback. Now, I do think the proof of concept is still a question mark,
sure,
which is very concerning if I'm a quarterback. Absolutely. Very concerning. But in terms of what this team and this offense could look like, yeah, the potential sky high.
That and the fact of not necessarily a counter argument, but a subtopic or a sub point is you mentioned all offensive guys. If you're a quarterback that's wanting to find a home, you want to play for a team that has a pretty solid defense as well.
That's going to help you win games.
And it's going to make it to where you don't have to feel like you have to put up 45 points on an offense or 45 points as offense to even have a chance of winning a football game. What did Auburn have to average in their losses this year to win? What did, because we talked about it earlier, where Auburn's offense was averaging under 16 points a game in conference play. The final scores on offense, what did you have to put up on average to win the games that you lost?
In the games that Auburn lost this year, if that offense or the team as a whole, that can be special teams, touchdowns, anything,
yeah,
defensive touchdowns, whatever.
Just, yeah, points.
If Auburn put up 28 points a game in their losses this year, they would have won 5 of them. Mm. Of the 7 losses Auburn has, if you score 28 points, not more than that, 28 on the money, you would have won 5 out of those 7. Technically, you would have lost to Georgia by 3, but you would have had a barn burner. And you would have tied with Alabama at 28 in another barn burner. You would have had 5 wins and 2 fourth quarter games.
So you're 10-2 with those games if you put up 28 points. You're down by 3 in the fourth quarter to Georgia, and you're quote-unquote going to overtime against Alabama.
You beat Cal, you beat Arkansas, you beat Oklahoma, you beat Missouri, you beat Vanderbilt. Even if you lose to Georgia-Alabama, Auburn's a 10-2 team. Your only losses are by a single score to Georgia.
You're the
and Alabama
in the playoff.
On the road, you're in the college football playoff. Auburn puts up 28 points a game. They're a playoff team this year.
That is disgusting to think about. But now goes to the point of a transfer portal quarterback to where, yeah, it's sexy for the kids that they're bringing in on offense, but it's sexy for the kids that are already there that played. Auburn's defense did that with freshmen on the field.
Yeah, they were the youngest productive
team in
college football.
They were the youngest team
in college
football. And then you look at what you brought in this year, and now you're going to give guys that were freshmen this year, they're now going to have an extra year. The sophomores like Keldrick Falk that came in, they're now going to be upperclassmen leading this Auburn defense. Why would you not want to play for a team that you feel like and you trust can get stops to where – here, let's take the pressure off. If you get 3 drives a quarter on average, you put up 3 drives a quarter, you score on one of those and put up 4 touchdowns in the entire game, not including any help that the defense gave you, because that defense of Auburn this year gave the offense plenty of times and plenty of turnovers inside their field position to where even if you just had to settle for 3, you would have loved where you're at. If you're a quarterback and they tell you, hey, we need 4 decent drives a game for you to have a chance at the college football playoff, tells a whole lot in your story.
Yeah, I mean, a touchdown a quarter. That's all Auburn needed this year. 7 points a quarter.
That's
to
sickening.
Be a playoff team. It's disgusting. Like that. It's sad, really.
Yet we're here now with Brad Lott saying that the 9-month countdown is on until we're in Jordan-Hare Stadium again.
Jeez. Does that... Side note, I guess. Does that phrase, it should make Auburn fans infuriated. Does it show how close Auburn is, or does it, I don't know. I guess that's the question. Does it show how close Auburn is?
It's hard because you feel like it's the conversation of Auburn this year was more than a quarterback away. Yet, everything that we've just stated kind of counter-arguments that. That being said, I feel like, say you were to go get a quarterback this past year rather than Cam Coleman, Perry Thompson, the other guys on defense that you brought in, it'd be a little bit of a different story. So I think going into next year, now it shows you can be a quarterback away, and it completely flips the script of where maybe last year you weren't, so you went and got the other pieces. This year it makes it to where if you can get everything in the right spot, you go get that answer. It shows how close you can be and how close you are to doing what you feel like you've had a chance of doing.
I still think you have to show a little respect to the conversation of what would a different quarterback have done in the system, in the game planning, and the play calling that Auburn had this year?
Even if it wasn't the million-dollar quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, what would a different quarterback have done, right? I mean, we've looked through the stats. Peyton Thorne didn't play all that bad down the stretch. He had some bad moments, some bad plays. I compare it to my golf game. Have I said this on the air before? I don't know. I compare it to my golf game where any given hole, let's say a par four, right, for all you golfers out there, I can hit three pretty good shots, but I can't put an entire hole together. One of the four shots that I take is going to be bad, which leads me to my fifth shot, which is why I'm a bogey golfer. Sometimes. I feel like Peyton Thorne was kind of the same way down the stretch, where he could play three-fourths of the game really good. 8 out of 10 drives, he was okay. Not good, but okay. He was good enough. But then there was the mistake. Whether it was the first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, fourth quarter, didn't matter. Like, the mistake was in there somewhere. The shank was in there. Yeah. The top was in there, right? The blow-by putt was in there somewhere. You knew it was coming, you just didn't know when. But outside of that, he didn't play all that bad, and that's what's frustrating.
It's very frustrating, and I mean, it's a great analogy, yeah, where if you have four shots, one of them's, you feel like it's going to be bad, and all of a sudden you're playing from behind, and all of a sudden you look at your score, and it was like, man, I felt like I played a pretty good round of golf, but I have a 91 on the scorecard.
Right.
Like, where does that line up? If you're taking golf into Auburn football, I feel like it's a pretty good comparison when you look at yourself, and you feel like if you watched every single quarter of Auburn football, you feel like you're halfway decent about yourself. Or if you go and you look at stats, you're pretty happy with how they performed. Then all of a sudden you look at the final record and it's, oh, where the heck did this go wrong?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's going to be a lot of this talk starting next week as the transfer portal officially opens on Monday. Well, we have college basketball coming up this weekend as Auburn is back in action. We'll talk about that, plus make our picks for the SEC Conference Championship game and all the other ones. We got 30 more minutes here on the Friday edition of On the Line.
On the Line with Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We are 30 minutes into the Friday edition of On the Line, and by free-for-all, we truly mean free-for-all. Jacob just sprinted out of the studio and out the front door looking at his phone, had to go talk with somebody, but we just finished up talking about some of the transfer portal quarterbacks, a little bit about college football. We've talked with Lee Sterling as well, and I'm sure in the very final segment we'll get our final predictions of the championship Saturday that is taking place. Actually, I guess it starts tonight, but the big slates are tomorrow. But we were beginning to preview some college basketball as there is a really big slate this weekend as well. You feel like every single weekend or every single midweek feels like there are some great basketball games, even one yesterday where 8th-ranked Purdue lost on the road to Penn State. That one was 81-70, that final score, and what a terrible court storming that was, where it took about 30 seconds for it to happen, and even after it happened, there really wasn't anything that happened as we welcome the main man back into the studio. I was telling them we had to sprint out for some reason. I don't know if
the check. Oh, no, we're good.
Don't know if your big-time check finally hit and you were walking out just saying, you know,
to heck with this. Yeah, see
you were talking about an undeniable offer. I didn't know if you got it and had to just, you know, give the peace sign on the way out.
No, unfortunately not.
We're talking college basketball as we're making that transition, talking about Penn State and Purdue last night with the Nittany Lions upsetting the 8th-ranked Boilermakers.
So
did
funny.
You see how bad the court storming was, too?
No.
It took like 30 seconds for it to happen, and it was almost at the point of like, okay, it's been 20 seconds. Like, don't do it anymore.
You're one that's in the category of it's like, let's quit doing this type
yes.
of thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, unless it's hard to say yes, but if this were to happen, but it almost feels like it's the same thing with the planting your flag on the opposing team's logo after a game. It feels like it's all so much to be cool, and you want your little moment now. And when you see it once, it's really cool, or you see it, you know, once or twice a year, but when it happens every single week, it almost just gets to the point of, okay, this team won a game.
Yeah, it's just it just seems it, like anything, right? When you get too much of it, it starts to lose
kind
its
of turns
effect.
You off a little bit.
Yeah, to where it starts to lose its specialness.
Right.
Sure. That's
sure.
What
yeah.
Like, I think about like the most historic court stormings in college basketball. Indiana's buzzer beater over Kentucky.
Oh, it's like fantastic.
I mean, it was so quick and so rapid and just like boom, and it just took over. Right. That's what it's about.
It felt worthy.
It felt right. Penn State trying to storm the court against Purdue. I have not seen it, but I'll take your word for it that it was terrible. But that goes to show and goes into our conversation that we always have about look at college basketball this year. It's going to be anarchy, man. It's going to be so broken. How about this? Let's do a little exercise.
10 push-ups.
Oh, no, that's too much. out of the one seeds this year, how many combined losses do they have in the NCAA tournament? How of the 4-1 seeds that will eventually be chosen, how many combined losses do you think they have?
Oh, so not right now, but
no, at the
when
end
they
of the
are
year,
one seeds.
Yes, when they are selected on Selection Sunday as the one seed, how many combined losses do you think they have?
Oh gosh,
I'm gonna say like 25, 20. I bet they have 20 combined. You have four teams combined losses as a one seed, the best teams in college basketball.
This does nothing for radio, but
I'll do play-by-play. Here we go.
The game is final right now.
Game is final. They're shaking hands. This is...
And they leak onto the field or onto the court.
This is Vanderbilt 2.0.
I was going to say, this is Vanderbilt after Alabama or after Virginia Tech.
Yeah, this is literally single file, walk down the stairs and sing. Okay, it got better.
It did.
It got better.
But it took 45 seconds as, again, everybody walked single file, hand in hand, holding the one over your cheeks with the bubble with the two over your or two on the other hand, walking
hips
through
and
the
lips, baby.
That's
funny. That's hilarious.
Sorry, not great for radio, but I mean, again, it will definitely be double-digit losses. With
I'm going to say
if
20.
There's four. So you're saying each team has an average of five losses?
Yeah. I don't think that's – let's think about Auburn, for example. I think Auburn is flirting to be a one seed. Absolutely flirting to be a one seed.
It's one of those things where it's like if I told you Auburn had five losses at the end of the regular season plus conference week or plus championship week, I think you would happily take it.
Absolutely. You would believe it and you would take it because look at what Auburn has done, right? Auburn has one loss right now. Very well could have a second loss before conference play starts if you can't win that game against Purdue. And then you have SEC play where – your SEC champion will probably have, I would say, between three and six losses, which is what they typically do.
They have it right now to where Auburn is the number one, like the very top seed in the bracket. And so I'm just looking at it right now. Auburn has a loss.
Yeah, who are the other ones?
Kansas
has a loss.
Has at least.
They lost once or twice.
They lost to Creighton. That was there because it was two undefeateds. Lost
yeah,
that's right. Monday night.
Who are the other ones?
Tennessee is the other one in Gonzaga. And
Kentucky and Gonzaga play tomorrow. They play tomorrow night. So tomorrow is great. Tomorrow you have all the conference championship games. And then late tomorrow night at like 9 o'clock Central Time, Kentucky and Gonzaga do battle. So you get to end the night with a huge college basketball
game. Yeah, there's no Pac-12 after dark, but it's Kentucky-Gonzaga basketball, number 4 versus number 7. Again, games that probably...
Gonzaga has a loss already. They're 7-1.
Exactly. So that's your... 8-9 games into the college basketball season for each team, and there's already three. And you're guaranteed, I mean, one a week from these four teams in the projected number one seeds will have a loss. And so, I mean, 20 is...
Not a bad guess.
It's not a bad guess at all. I mean, anywhere around that. That'd be an interesting, one of those crazy, like, how did you find that type of bets and see whatever the line would possibly be.
Well, let's talk a little Auburn and college basketball as a whole. Auburn does not play tomorrow. They play Sunday. They play Sunday morning at 11 a.m. And I've seen people who have they've questioned this, right? They've kind of had some, like, why is this on a Sunday morning at 11 a.m., right? Why are they doing this? But I think there's been pretty good arguments to it, because you don't have to compete with Championship Saturday. You don't have to... I saw some parents make some arguments on social media, like, this is an easier game to bring your kids to than a Tuesday night game at 8 o'clock or even 6 o'clock in the middle of the week. Like, this is tough. And tomorrow is also, or sorry, Sunday is also a doubleheader. The men's team plays and the women's team plays right after. It's a doubleheader. They play two games back-to-back inside of Neville Arena.
Let's not forget the real reason why it's at 11 a.m. It's so that way during the parade on Sunday afternoon, they can listen to your play-by-play as Santa rolls through Toomer's Corner.
Yeah, that's what everybody wishes. Let's do a little cross promotion real quick. On Wings 94.3's Facebook page, not on the radio, but on Wings 94.3's Facebook page, the Auburn Network will be set up right downtown Toomer's Corner, right in between the brick pillars right there at Toomer's Corner. Ben Taylor and I are going to be your on-air talent. We're going to be broadcasting the Downtown Auburn Christmas Parade. I'm very excited. I think it's going to be really cool. We're going to be giving away station gear, hot chocolate for kids, our station vehicle. The Kia is going to be out there. With all the logos on it, throwing out T-shirts and candy canes and all types of stuff. We're going to have a lot of fun on Sunday afternoon in the Downtown Auburn Christmas Parade. So be sure you come by and check us out. And you can listen and watch that on Wings, the Wings 94.3 Facebook page. But Auburn does play at 11 a.m. They play Richmond, a team that by the name a lot of people know in college basketball. A lot of people know who this is. They're a team that typically is flirting with the NCAA tournament. They've made it for several years.
Yeah.
Their record right now is not very pretty. They're 4-4, right? I mean, they beat Mount Olive, Olive Oil there. They lost to Marist, sure, Charlotte, Bucknell. They beat Maine and Florida Tech, and then they lost to Louisiana Tech, and they beat Ball State. Like, this is not the Richmond team that we are used to seeing. And so it's fair to say this is one of those classic, it's about Auburn games, right? You come back off of some really tough games in Maui. You come off the loss against Duke. And I think that's where the attention has to turn to, right, is what does Auburn look like after their first loss of the season? I think that's what you have to focus on Sunday.
It very much is, and there's two challenges. It's the loss and then the early morning, to where it almost feels like it's, again, 11 a.m. road game or 11 a.m. game inside Jordan-Hare, where you feel like the away team almost has a little bit of an advantage, a little bit of a smaller team playing without anything to lose. Delonte Hunt is their leading scorer. He averages 20 a game, shooting 51% from the field. So, I mean, they get decent guard play. They don't necessarily have the size or the depth that, throughout the entire lineup. But it's a team that, like Richmond, it's a game that, almost kind of like the UNA game, where it almost could possibly come up and scare you because you look at the first half or you look at the score at halftime and it could possibly be one of those, oh, Auburn didn't come out and play the way that they were supposed to be. But that being said, coming off of a loss, I think you expect to have a lot of things cleaned up, and I think Bruce has his guys ready.
You have Richmond coming up for Auburn. You have Ohio State coming up next Saturday in the Holiday Hoops Giving. That'll be played at State Farm Arena in Atlanta. And so this team is going to get a much-deserved break, some time off that they desperately need. But coming up later on the drive with Bill Cameron, Dan Peck, and I saw Coach Dunn out in the parking lot, so he's going to be the legend. Coach Dunn is going to be in the studio as well. They're going to have the weekly Tiger Takes interview with Dylan Cardwell, brought to you by 12K Salon in downtown Auburn. Normally on Thursdays, but the show was cut short due to women's basketball yesterday, so they're going to have that for you coming up in just a little bit. But I talked to Dylan yesterday, and I asked him, just to give you a little preview, I asked him, I said, are you looking forward to having the time off in between the Richmond game and Ohio State? I was like, man, you guys have been traveling everywhere. Are you looking forward to time off? And he said, honestly, no. He said, I like to play. He said, I want to play games. And I thought that was really cool. He elaborated on that, but you can listen to that coming up in just a little bit. But here's what Auburn has in the rest of their non-conference schedule. Richmond at home, Ohio State in Atlanta, home versus Georgia State, a game against Purdue, a top 10 game right now against Purdue. I don't know how that's going to change with their loss to Penn State, but top 10 game against Purdue, that game being played in Birmingham at the BJCC, and then Monmouth on December 30th before you start with Missouri in conference play. Do you have Auburn going 5-0 in that stretch as of right now? Do you have the Tigers going 5-0 when they walk into SEC play?
I think that should be the expectation. I think especially considering it is a neutral site home game for Auburn. That being said, if there's one team even more so than Duke did to give Auburn matchup troubles, I think it's Purdue. I think it's the style of offense that they run. They are much more of a set offense. They want to run their on-ball screens, the elevator screens, get guys open, get high-quality shots, and then run when you need to. And they use their size and their depth down low to create a lot of their offense. So I think if there's one team, again, other than Duke, that gives Auburn matchup problems in the non-conference, I think it's Purdue. I think 4-1 should be the very bare minimum of everything against a team like Ohio State that is going to be a very good team and is a pretty solid team, but have showed some flaws here early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
I think 4-1 should be the very bare minimum with a very solid game in Purdue before you hit the regulars or the SEC schedule.
And I'll say this too. I think if you split the Ohio State-Purdue games, whichever way that goes, right? I mean, let's say you lose to Ohio State and what would ultimately be a disappointing result,
yeah,
but you turn around and beat Purdue two games later, I think that's a wash at that point. I think it would make up for that. But I do want to remind people what our conversations were before the season started when we knew what this schedule looked like and what it could look like with the Maui was losses are not the end of the world if they are to the right teams, because losses, just like Duke did on on Wednesday, it shows you your imperfections. It shows you your flaws. It shows you where you can get better.
Yeah.
And the time to do that is non-conference play. I'll make the argument you can do it early in SEC play too. Not very deep, but the first couple of games, which
especially on the road.
Especially on the road, which Auburn's two out of their first three SEC games are on the road in pretty tough environments. Auburn starts with Missouri at home on January 4th. I believe that's a Saturday, is it? Let's see.
It is, because the Texas game is that Tuesday.
So you're on the road.
Connections there.
You're not going to that.
No, if it was a weekend game, there were talks, but
I was going to try.
Not with a midweek.
Yeah, so Auburn opens up with Missouri at home, at Texas, and at South Carolina. So you will know exactly what this Auburn team looks like in terms of the SEC, because Texas is solid. That was a ranked team to start the year. They are 7-1. They lost to that Ohio State team in the opener, remember? And since then, they have dominated everybody they've played. They beat Syracuse. They beat NC State. And then South Carolina, on the other hand, that's a okay South Carolina team. I mean, that's a team that got beat pretty good by Indiana, who got waxed in their battle for Atlantis. South Carolina's 5-3 right now. They lost to North Florida. They lost to Indiana. They lost to Xavier. They have bounced back and beat Virginia Tech and Boston College, so maybe they're getting it turned around. But road games in the SEC still aren't easy, and Auburn has to find a way to get those done once SEC play begins.
I was just saying, and Auburn doesn't have back-to-back home games until February. February 4th and 8th. With Oklahoma and Florida. Other than that, you're
splitting. Forgot about that, man. This schedule is brutal. Brutal. Especially, man, look at that. Look at March. Look at your last three games in March. At Kentucky, at A&M, home for Alabama. Those are all ranked
games. Even throwing in Ole Miss right before it.
Jeez. Woo, man.
Championship Saturday picks. We need them.
We got to get to those. Let's take our final break. We're going to have to rapid fire, but that's okay. We'll do that as we wrap up the free-for-all Friday edition of On the Line after this.
War Eagle, this is Coach Hugh Freeze, and you're on the line with Jacob Goins on Auburn Opelika Sports Leader ESPN 106.7.
Winding down here on the Friday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. You got a little basketball tonight, right? You got a couple of wins last night. You got more Lee Scott basketball coming up tonight. Plug that really quickly.
Yeah, Lee Scott taking on Lafayette or Lafette, depending on where you are in the state, taking them on. It'll be JV boys at 4, varsity girls will come on shortly after that, and the varsity boys will follow it. Both teams playing really, really good basketball right now following their tournament in Montgomery. Both teams with back-to-back wins on the road at Horseshoe Bend, and then last night against Notasulga, playing really good basketball right now, looking to keep it going. We'll have all that broadcast on Tiger Country 104.5. Again, right around 5:15, 5:30, depending on how quickly the JV boys game finishes up. But I'm really, really excited to see a packed-out Sanford Gymnasium again for what should be a really solid matchup.
I do want to say this, too. I missed it. It came out about an hour ago from KLS himself. He has declared for the NFL draft. From Auburn, so just to, I guess, keep that in mind, just to throw that out there. Keandre Lambert-Smith has a real good post about Auburn, talking about his time here, very short time, but he is declaring for the NFL draft. So shout out to him. He was what a heck of an addition he was to this Auburn team. I mean, cannot say enough about what five and blue and orange meant to Auburn.
I mean, it's could be the definition of turning around a skill position that hasn't necessarily been all that great over the past couple of years for Auburn. Being able to lead that group that was filled with freshmen, he talked about it coming in of how he was going to be able to be that mentor type role, almost like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, you know, where it's the I'm not a big fan of them, but the rat that trains all the turtles, and all of a sudden after a couple of years the turtles are able to take care of the rat. So it's almost like as life progresses he was able to coach them, and then walked into
Splinter.
Yes.
Love TMT.
Is that
TMNT?
Okay,
so that's his name, Splinter.
There we go. I thought you were looking at me like you didn't get the connection.
Oh no, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Okay, well, perfect. Yeah. Again, he plays that role for Auburn to where a couple years down the road, you could almost look at it and say that this wide receiver room turned into a benefit and one of the best pieces of Auburn football.
Absolutely. Okay, we have very limited time, so we're going to have to do a rapid fire here on the conference championship games coming up this weekend. We've had great conversations today. We appreciate everybody being with us. A shout out to the Orthopedic Clinic for sponsoring hour number two, as they do each and every day during my show here on ESPN from 3 to 4 o'clock. You can catch the podcast at ESPNAU.com. All right, rapid fire. UNLV, Boise State. Question one. Is the winner in and loser out?
Yes.
Who's the winner?
Boise State.
I agree.
It was a close game. I think it was 28-24 the last time they played. But give me the boys in blue in Boise, Idaho.
For some reason, I feel UNLV keeps this thing close.
Very much so. Very much so. But I'll give the blue field a field goal favorite. So they win by... we'll say they win by six.
I'll take Boise State. I'll take UNLV to cover, but I'll take Boise State to win. So very,
it's only
close.
4.5. So you're saying 28-27 type game?
Yep.
Does Ashton Jeanty do enough to plead his case for the Heisman over Travis Hunter's last game with 3 touchdowns and an interception?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So they just feed him the ball.
I think he gets it anyway. I think he wins it regardless.
Okay. Even with a bad game tonight?
Not a bad game, but I forget that game is tonight. Not a bad game, but a good game.
Sure.
Iowa State, Arizona State. I'm going to take Arizona State. I think they roll.
I will take Dillingham as well. I will take Arizona State. That line's at 1.5. I'll take them to win and to cover.
I'm going to go with this one very quickly. I've said it all week, and I will continue to say it. Oregon will blast Penn State. I mean embarrass Penn State in the Big Ten championship game.
So you're going against Lee Sterling, saying that James Franklin gets it done. You're going against him. Oregon's only a 3.5-point favorite. They're going across the country. It is a 7 o'clock game, which I think plays a little bit more of a factor. Oregon's going to do everything they can to keep that one spot. I like Oregon as well.
I think Oregon wins massively. I also think that Georgia goes 2-0 against Texas.
Really?
Yes. I think Carson Beck figures it out. I think he does enough. I think Georgia goes 2-0.
I think Texas has figured out their run game a little bit more. They now have a two-headed monster back there. I think Arch Manning gets involved a little bit more as well. This really comes down to, I mean, you feel like at worst these two teams flip and the winner gets a bye, loser hosts first round, right? I will take, just for the fun of it, I will take Texas to win and to cover.
Clemson or SMU? Clem, quickly.
I will take the Ponies. Give me SMU in year one. That was my dark horse in the ACC all the way back when we were talking about discussions of which teams are in each conference. That was my dark horse, so I'm going to stick with them.
I'm going to take Clemson to get in, keep Alabama out, because SMU will stay in the playoff even though they lose.
The Clemson win would create a whole lot of chaos, and it would make it really fun to watch on Sunday.
Which is what I'm cheering for, baby. We want the Tigers just for chaos. We love it. We make the committee work. Make them do something they don't want to do. I hope they have to. We'll talk about it all on Monday, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Have a great weekend. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.